Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Camaro Dave, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in beautiful downtown Portland. We also welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. This week, we're welcoming back our old friend Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest. We're going to be chatting up the airwaves with some new things in barbecue, talk a little bit about social grilling and what's coming on this fall and this winter. Our music this week is by the Rhinestone Cowboy himself, Glenn Campbell. I'll tell you a story about that a little bit.
I bet you will.
And this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Yep, it's beef you'll be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Andy, welcome, buddy.
Hey, glad to be back, JT.
I know you are. It's good. It's good.
Been a little while.
My seventh grade teacher was Glenn Campbell's first cousin.
No kidding.
Yeah, Jerry Don Campbell.
You told me this story before.
Yeah.
Because I think you had Glenn Campbell playing music on a show that we did one time.
Yeah, probably a couple of years ago or something. But, yeah,
exactly.
But every time Glenn would come to town, Jerry Don would, he was gone from school for a couple of days. And he'd go see Glenn and they'd just have a fine time. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
We've got new stuff going on in the barbecue world. Social grilling. I find that term kind of fascinating, actually, because barbecues are usually social functions to begin with. But now the focus is on the actual cooking being social. And I think that's pretty cool, actually, because as we were talking on the phone yesterday, when you cook like we do, you get stuck cooking and you don't get to socialize that much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, and you get kind of tired of it. You know, people invite you to a barbecue, and then you know that they're going to ask you to cook.
Right.
And
because you can.
Because you can, and you will, because you're a good person and all that jazz. But then all of a sudden, the barbecue's over. You've barely made it through your plate of food, and people are going home.
Well, you know what's cool about the social cooking thing, like we talked about yesterday? And I think Evo kind of came up with it. You know, that's that flat cooktop that everyone could huddle around and cook food and participate. But the whole industry is changing. So it's not just, you know, the traditional gas grill anymore. It is, you know, a table, a nice table with a grill in the middle where people can, you know, put their food on and have conversation across the table.
Right.
Cook their food and, you know, you can critique the way they do it and they'll get better over a period of time. And also I work primarily with designers and architects, so it's not just what it does, what it looks like. It goes in the outdoor living space. And those pictures you sent me yesterday of those grills are really neat.
They are. And you know, I got to thinking about it. I thought if we were going to do it the cowboy way, we'd just get a picnic table and cut a hole with a jigsaw and put a hibachi in the middle of it.
Exactly.
But that's not exactly what these are like.
No.
Well, they've got that one, that Angara Korean barbecue grill table. Now, it's spendy. It's about $15,000-$16,000, but you can seat, what, 8 to 10 people?
I think you can sit 10 people there.
Yeah.
So it's
and everybody's got their own individual little grill space. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of sitting there and the party's going on. You got your own. You know, like we were saying, maybe you don't like beef. Maybe you like chicken or maybe you're a vegetarian. And, you know, but that's what you're going to do. And you cook it yourself right there. Mm-hmm. And you eat when you're done and you're talking to people. But then if you need help, you can talk to somebody like us and help you out there.
Yeah. But, you know, as, like we said yesterday, though, you know, you help them out a couple of times and they'll get it.
Yeah.
No one's taught them before. They're just throwing it on there and, you know, shooting for the moon.
I always get a kick out of the people. You invite them to a barbecue and they say, what can I bring? And they say, okay, bring a salad. And they bring a salad that's, probably good enough for two people.
One rabbit.
One rabbit, yeah. I had an aunt and uncle used to do that. They'd come out to the ranch and we'd have barbecues, you know, almost every weekend in the summertime. And they would stop by KFC and get a, like a, 6-piece box of chicken or 8-piece, I don't know what they are, and a thing of coleslaw and a thing of mashed potatoes and gravy. And you would have 50 people at these barbecues, and that's, hey, here you go.
Here's a spoon.
Here's a spoon. Dig in like that. When somebody's going to consider something like that Angora grill, what are the aesthetics that you have to consider in doing that? When, like, if you're putting a an outdoor kitchen together for somebody, you know, and what do you look at when you're coming to aesthetics to put something? Like I said, it's big and it's kind of long and narrow, but it still takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, well, I'd regard it as your outdoor dining room table, probably. I wouldn't incorporate it into the actual kitchen that I do, because it is its own piece, and it's kind of a standalone. And even if you didn't cook on it, you cooked on something else there,
right,
you still eat on it.
Sure.
It has a space. So, and, you know, working with designers as well, they think about stuff I don't think about and you don't think about placement, angles, and things of that nature. So they'd probably separate it from the regular cooking area and get it out there a little ways.
Do you find that when you're designing outdoor kitchens, and I know some of this is by design or for function, as a cook, I like people coming up and visiting only so much, okay, not hanging out.
Right.
And do you find that when you're doing an outdoor kitchen like that and you've got a, you know, you've got a Twin Eagles or you've got a flat grill, a flat top, or you've got a Primo or whatever you've got there, do people say, don't make it so people can hang around? Or do they say, we want people to hang around?
I think they want people to hang around. You know, a lot of those commercial projects, they call it multifamily that we've done together.
Right, right.
Like the Vista St. Clair one and whatnot. I get feedback from the people that run the place, and they said, yeah, people love to come down here and meet and cook on it and stand around and have conversation. But in the other grill, as you kind of stated before, you kind of have your back to somebody, and they're kind of looking over your shoulder, and you're getting all paranoid, and it's like, go away, go away. But I think the social grilling experience is completely different.
Well, like you said, the Evo people. And if you don't know what an Evo is, it's a, what is that?
It's a 30-inch round cooktop.
Yeah.
They're actually based out of, well, Tualatin now, but it used to be out of Beaverton, but it's a global company.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of fun. And you know, everyone comes in asking for the traditional gas grill, because that's all they know. And the customers that I have persuaded to get the Evo, they tell me sometimes that they don't even use a gas grill anymore. It's so much fun. I mean, it's versatile. Same thing with some of the grills that you sent me pictures of yesterday. You
right.
can put asparagus on it. You can cook rice on it if
oh,
you
I've
want
done
to.
It. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it does everything type of thing, where the traditional gas grill, you can't do that.
Yeah, we've done, when I've worked with you and I've worked with other people and retailers and stuff, and they have a gas grill, they have a gas charcoal pellet combinations. We'll talk about that in a minute, but they're really more fascinated by the Evo, or again, that social grilling, because they can kind of stand around it. You know, on a conventional gas grill, you've got a hood, so if you're standing looking at somebody straight across from you, you raise the hood, they're not seeing anything, they're not seeing you,
right?
You know what I mean? You're blocking them. So in that circular fashion, people can stand around and still they can cook their own stuff if they want to. You know, they can do pineapples, fruits, you know, vegetables, meats, what have you.
Yeah, you know, and I've done presentations and whatnot. And usually I do like a maintenance presentation with the staff and everything, and I'll prep up some burgers and, you know, whatever, whatever. And I'll bring it over, then they're like, all right, get to cooking. I said, I'm not cooking.
You are.
You are, because you're going to learn how to use this thing.
Yeah.
And they do, every one of them just turns out just fine. I mean, they've done a great job. You really can't mess it up on those cooking surfaces.
We're talking with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens in Northwest in Tualatin, Oregon. And Andy designs and sells and puts together outdoor kitchens for people, decks, patios, wherever they want to put it. You find a spot for it,
right?
Like that. And you put some of them, you have to put a little cover over them too, but works out pretty good. I think that we have evolved so much in our outdoor cooking. And again, whether you use charcoal or gas or pellets or, you know, electric even, that it's come along such a long ways that people that normally the last few years wouldn't have thought about getting involved in it, they are at this point.
No, it's I forgot what the number was, but the growth in this sector is something like 20% a year.
Yes.
People are keeping their houses. They're just remodeling, or they're building new houses, and they don't plan on moving. I mean, no doubt about it. So they want something they can both enjoy. And usually, you know, both people in the house want it. You know, when I was in the audio video business, for a long time. It was the husband that wanted the home theater.
Sure.
The wife wanted nothing to do with it. I mean, she got a free Mercedes and a trip to Paris to have him get away with it type of thing.
Right.
So, you know, and also when I'm doing design work and whatnot, you know, they're just trying to skimp on some stuff. I'm like going, really think about this because you're not going to move. You're going to use this for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, we use the right material so it lasts a long time. And they, I mean, I think I have 100% satisfaction with my customers. I mean, they're all happy, enjoy it, use it all the time. You know, when it, you know, winter time they use it.
And that's because you bribe them, though?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They got a free T-shirt.
They got a free T-shirt. We're going to be back in a few minutes with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest here on Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest in the studio with us today. Before we get back to talking with Andy, if you'd like to email us, it's very simple. It's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation at alphamediausa.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook, which is Barbecue Nation with JT. I want to say hi to one of our affiliates outside of the Radio Northwest Network, KSEY in Seymour, Texas. And here's the big and. There's always the and. And then it's the but. Followed the but you know, here's the deal.
Right.
You can win a gift certificate from the National Barbecue News. It's an actual magazine. You just send me an email that to barbecuenation@alphamediausa and answer the following question. What was the name of the Korean grill we just spoke about in the first segment? What was the name of the Korean grill? It's a table that Andy and I just talked about. Send your answer to barbecuenation@alphamediausa.com, and if you get the right answer and we pick you as the winner, I will personally mail you a gift certificate for 1 year's free subscription to the Barbecue News. How's that? Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me. You know, there's some other grills. I noticed, too, that a lot of them, they're making – I made the joke at the top of the show about a hibachi, you know. And that's been tried and true for college students and tailgaters for 50 years, you know. But I notice now that they are making kind of more of those, like the Stokes, the STOK grill. It's a little round thing. It looks like a one of those little Coleman liquid dispenser things, you know, that you took on a picnic. But it's a grill. And it's... It, you know, well, it's not that big around. It's probably, what, 12, 16 inches across. But you can, it's got a little carrying case. You pack it on your shoulder, you know, light the fuel when you get there and cook.
Have grill will travel.
Have grill will travel. Wouldn't Paladin be happy with that? But we're seeing more of that, more and more of that, more mobility with these grills outside of the patio setting because there's so much going on. Like with tailgating, I did the Ducks tailgate for a number of years, you know. We had to have a big grill down there, and that was fine. But you can – some of these people, you know, they really get into tailgating. They've got trucks and vans and motorhomes, and that's very cool. Some of them just have, you know, a Toyota Corolla and a card table, and they're having just as much fun because they're cooking on one of these little units, you know.
Yeah, I think the whole industry is just exploding. You know, I mean, you know, like we spoke about earlier, you know, it's the traditional gas grill. Now they're coming up with all these ideas of how to take the grill, you know, portable, like you said, or cook different things on it easily. You know, making them in different colors, you know, for the design aspect of it. That's a big thing. Making them look cool.
Yeah.
Where they're just the shiny stainless steel box. So, yeah, it's just fun.
Well, and, you know, if somebody's going to spend, just pick a number, $25,000 on an outdoor kitchen, which isn't that much by definition, but it gets
nice.
You something. It's nice. But if their house is green, maybe they want their gas grill green, you know, to kind of match and flow and all those things that architects and designers talk about, which I don't think much about, honestly.
Well, they don't care about what it does. They care about what it looks like. I mean, that's pretty true. So I try and work with them and come to, you know, a happy understanding, so to speak, where, well, okay, let's get it laid out right. You can pick the colors of the countertops. You can pick the cladding. You can pick the size of it to some degree. But let me do the heavy lifting on the other stuff.
Right.
And, you know, you spoke about colors and things like that matching. What I find is going to be interesting is most people that like barbecuing, they're sports enthusiasts. And a lot of these grills come in colors that would be the color of your team.
Yes.
Like, you know, Oregon State, orange and black. Or, yeah, I know that's your team.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Ducks, green and yellow type of thing.
Quack.
So, yeah, got to play both sides. Yeah. But, yeah, so I think that's a big part, too. But, you know, it's just fun industry to be in. I started this 4.5 years ago, and I think we were just coming out of that recession, or whatever you want to call it, the housing crisis. So people weren't doing a whole lot. They're just kind of kicking along and making everything work.
Sure.
But about 2.5 years ago, it just started blowing up. And we've been really busy lately.
Well, and some of the designs of some of these, if you will, tabletop grills, there's the Berghof, guess it's German, you would say.
Yeah.
It's kind of shaped like a, maybe kind of reminds you of an old lava lamp or a 70s interior design of something. You know, it's kind of comes up from the base and goes in and then goes out to a wide top. And then the grilling surface, the cooking surface is in the middle. But that thing can be actually 3 to 4 feet across. Right there, again, you can do 3 or 4 people standing around it cooking.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something else, this is a little bit off the subject, but something I've noticed the last two and a half, 3 years is pizza ovens have really exploded.
Yes, yes.
It's no longer, I mean, they're asking for it. I'm not presenting it. And that's just really strange. And it's not just a pizza oven. It's an oven. You know,
right.
It cooks anything. You cook bread in it. You can cook pizzas, obviously.
Yeah.
You cook anything. But I think that's a fun one, especially if you have kids. You know, they have like kid parties and stuff like that. Make your own pizza. So I'm kind of
like
happy.
You said, not to get off the track, but I saw a really cool recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out, people, for cooking potatoes outside, like baked potatoes. You get like a big golden Yukon or one of those,
mm-hmm.
and you slice it about 1/8 of an inch apart all the way down across the potato. You put some butter on it. And these aren't exact measurements, so I'm, you know, don't call me and say, how much of this do I use? Mm-hmm. But they put a little butter on it like that, and then some, you know, kosher salt and pepper, and they put it in a pizza oven, okay? And they had like 6 or 8 of these things, right? So they put it in the pizza oven, and they bake it just kind of, they're just looking till those scores that you made open up a little bit. Mm-hmm. They pull it out, then they put some more butter and some more, this time some grated Parmesan on it.
I've seen this recipe before.
Yeah, actually. Now what they didn't do, and I would have done, is I would have put some prosciutto or bacon on it,
because
I'm a hog.
Right.
But, and then they, some like chopped green onions or scallions, whatever you want to call them, and put that back in and let it finish baking till they open up a little more, and it's kind of fork tender.
Yep.
These things looked incredible, and you could do them on, actually these you could do them, like we were talking, you know, if you had a stone, you could do it on a stone. You can do it on a griddle. You could do it on a rack, on your gas grill up on the upper rack like that. Very simple to do. And the ingredients, you know, potato, butter, salt, pepper, bacon for Jeff,
right.
You know, like that. And some Parmesan and green onions.
Yeah, you just got to get creative. You know? It's like you and I would be dangerous on that cooking show on the Food Network. What's that called? Or they just give you certain ingredients.
Oh, like Iron Chef or one of those? Or
yeah, something like that. But like they give you limited ingredients and you got to make something of it. I think that's the fun part. I'll just look what I have in my refrigerator, what I picked out of my garden, and just make it up and make it your own like we talked about, you know, on another show.
You know, for a year, I guess we got to take a break, but we'll pick this up when we come back.
Okay.
Be back with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest right here on Barbecue Nation. Don't go away. A little Sunflower and Glen Campbell. I love that. First time I heard that song, I was in Canada about 9,000 decades ago. But it was really good. Always makes me remember one certain person.
Who's that?
Bartender. Anyway, we're talking with Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest, and this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest comes a beef that you can feel good about and proud to serve your family. And also this portion is brought to you in part by Barclays Buy Sell Pond down in Woodburn, kind of my neck of the woods. They have a special this week on a 12-string Dane Electro Cherry Sunburst guitar, normally about $450. They've got it down for about $359 now. So go to Barclays website or even on Facebook. You can find him and ask him about that guitar. I love 12-string guitars. I used to play guitar, as you know, and I love 12-string.
I've got guitars. I just can't play them.
Yeah. I got one left, and I don't play them anymore. And I got a violin. I don't play anymore. So there you go.
Funny.
We're talking about cooking for families and friends and social stuff. Let's get back to the kind of some gas grills. You know, Rockwell's got this new, it's called a Caliber Social Grill. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a monster. Probably competing with Twin Eagles. You know, kind
well,
of that, that
no,
size.
That's a griddle, isn't it?
No, it's got gas on it, too.
Rockwell's yeah, but it's gas, but it's a griddle. Well, it's a flat top, isn't it? And it comes in different colors.
Yeah. Maybe I'm mistaken.
I'm pretty sure on that one, because I've looked at those before about carrying them. But yeah, that kind of, it's a rectangle Evo, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it comes, you can get it on a cart, you can wheel it out in the middle of everything. Very, very cool design. So I think you're going to do well.
Yeah, that would be well. I mean, if you don't want to go that big, you can always go down and get a Blackstone. You know, they're $150. And they have 17-inch to 32-inch or 36-inch grills.
Yeah.
And you just need one of those little gas cans to run it.
Yeah, very inexpensive. I can't think that it's going
to
last a long,
it's not
long
meant
time.
To,
but it's not meant to. You know,
just, one or two tailgating seasons or something like that. If
yeah,
you take care of it,
max,
it'll
yeah,
be fine. Or
yeah,
if you're going hunting, mm-hmm, you know, and you want a place to cook pancakes and you're not that adept at, you know, making them flat on round rocks, then,
right,
you know, do something like that.
Very cool.
Yeah, and the 8-seat Jag grill. Do you know about that one?
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It didn't look like it was a big table when I was looking at it
yeah,
yesterday.
Well, there's smaller people in Europe.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it was in an octagon shape.
Yes, yes.
And I think it had a circular grill in the middle. It kind of looked like a fire pit almost.
Kind of like the, was it P.F. Chang's, the one where you cook your own? Or no, well, there used to be a like a Japanese restaurant where you could cook your own on kind of an Evo type thing, mm-hmm, or a big wok like that. And that's kind of the impression I'm getting from some of these.
Hmm.
But when you cooked it at the restaurant, you were away from, you know, it wasn't at your own table. It
right,
was a centralized cooking surface.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's kind of fun too.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, you know, anything that they can do to get people involved in barbecuing rather than, you know, being you or me cooking,
yes,
and serving it to them, I think that's a plus. I mean, people are going to start learning how to cook better. They're going to start doing it more often. You know, we've had a conversation before using our barbecue versus using our interior oven.
Mm-hmm.
I really haven't used my oven at all, except maybe to heat up pizza. I love barbecue and everything. So
pretty much any of the proteins I cook outside.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the vegetables I cook outside. I don't, because my grills get busy, as it were, than I don't do if I'm doing rolls or biscuits or some sort of bread.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that in the oven.
Right. Well, that makes
know,
sense.
You know, like that. But any of the other stuff, the vegetables and the, like I said, the, you know, beef, chicken, pork, whatever you're cooking, I'll do that outdoors. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It just tastes better.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're using, you know, the pellet grill that you have or the hardwood lump charcoal.
Yep.
Gas grills, you know, they're convenient. I mean, I don't think that, and they're easy to use type of thing. But, you know, it's kind of for that person that isn't going to be an expert probably, yeah, but they might get, you know, fall in love with barbecuing with that thing and then start expanding their barbecue.
Moving on. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting a smoker, you know, getting a flat top cook thing, you know, they find out that they like to be outside and they like to cook outside and they like to entertain. So,
well, when we were talking about this before you came on the show, I read some stats, 7 out of 10 actual households, meaning homeowners,
mm-hmm,
have some sort of barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Some bigger, better than the others,
right,
like that. But that's a pretty big number. That's telling you there's over 200 million people in this country that resort to barbecue or grilling or what have you. And I think the people that come home with a, you know, they've got a Weber gas grill outside or whatever brand name it is, it doesn't matter. You know, they can have their dinner done in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not so much with charcoal. You have to wait a little longer, get
right,
it up to temp, you know, do whatever you're going to do. Pellets kind of in between there.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the gas grills, and I know a lot of my barbecue aficionado people that I interview or talk to, you know, they wouldn't be caught dead using a gas grill. But I think that's wrong. I think, you know, the more people you get involved with cooking outside, in whatever fashion they do it.
Correct.
I think it's good to bring them into the fold.
Right. And like we spoke about earlier, it's like they're going to get addicted to it, and then they're going to expand it.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I've noticed when you talked about growth and houses having, you know, grills, what would you say, 7 out of 10?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Well, about 2 years ago, all the designers and builders that are doing, you know, high-end remodels, like gutting the house
sure.
and starting over, or building a house, the outdoor kitchen's not an afterthought anymore. It's part of it.
Yes.
So obviously it's on their mind, and that just shows you how popular it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We got a couple minutes left here before we go to break, Andy, about three. So you were telling me about Twin Eagles has a new product.
That's I think it's out. It came out, I think, September 1st, but it's really cool. And they, I knew they had to address this sooner or later. And Dante Cannell, he started the outdoor kitchen world with DCS, I think, in 92. Mm. So he owns Twin Eagles, and he's a designer, plus he's, you know, he runs a company type of thing. But he came out with this grill that's a pellet grill. It's a hardwood / charcoal smoker, or it's a regular barbecue. And it can do all three things. It's got a thermometer on it that can be controlled with your iPhone or your Android device or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
You know, pad. It's got a thermometer that you can plug into stuff to see if stuff's done, or signal when the temperature's reached a certain level so you know when to pull it off. But very, very cool unit. It's not that much in my world. But all these other things, I'm not going to say the names. These pellet smokers that aren't very much money, they don't do a very good job. They break quite often. They don't hold the heat in very well. I mean, it's thin steel.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So they've really stepped it up and you know, put out a quality product that I think is going to be very successful.
Well, you always had a Delta that a lot of times, a number of times I came and cooked with you when you were having, which is a, isn't that a lower...
Yeah, that Delta Heat's kind of like, well, Twin Eagles is a parent company, and Delta Heat's the, you know, I always call it the Acura and the Honda, you know, same company, different levels of performance, different prices, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people sweat a little too much on the Twin Eagles, they can back up to the Delta Heat and still be happy.
But that was good, too. I liked that one because you could use charcoal, you could use gas
right.
on that one. And then I used one in Seattle this year where, and I'm not sure if that was Twin Eagles or what it was, but you had a choice of all three, pellets, charcoal, or gas
mm-hmm.
on it. And, you know, for somebody who likes to do kind of well-rounded cooking,
mm-hmm.
But you're not really going out and hitting the barbecue trail, as they call it, you know, for competitions, that's a really nice unit to have. It's spendy. It's 10 grand.
Yeah.
But it's that'll also last you 10 years.
Right, easy. Or longer.
Yeah, if you take care of it.
If you take care of it, that's the key.
No.
You just made me think something. Have you noticed, you know, the Kamado smokers that were made out of ceramic?
Right.
You know, that's how they evolved and everything like that. Have you noticed how they're making them out of metal now?
Yes.
And I had a customer buy one, not for me because I didn't sell it, but he says that thing's just fabulous. It's, first of all, it's lighter to move around, and it does the same thing. You know, you get that temperature up to 220 and lock it in. He said he came back, I think, 16 hours later, still, well, it was like at 210 or something like that.
Right. Still there, though?
Still there, though. And he just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But, and plus, you can have them in different colors, too. So it comes into that design category we talked about, too.
Go Beavs.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, I'm pulling for the Beavs.
There you go.
They're going to get there.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, come back, and wrap up the show with Andy Black, or as I like to call him, Blackfeather, here on Barbecue Nation. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Camaro Dave's out there doing his little buff. And we got Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest. Next week on the show, we'll be talking to some of the winners from the Royal, the KCBS. Yeah, I've actually made contact with them in a kind of spiritual way.
Is that the one in Kansas City?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, my dad used to be a judge on that.
Was he?
A long time ago. I mean, I think it was in the 70s.
Lots of pork.
Yeah.
Ribs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, very good. So we're going to have a couple of the winning teams And we kind of do that every year after the Royal, and then after the Jack, we get about 6-8 weeks in a row of all these winners, and then we break into Christmas and the holiday, Turkey Day. Meathead will be back to talk about turkeys and Christmas cooking, and I think Noah Glanville from Pit Barrel will be here to also talk about doing some prime ribs in a Pit Barrel cooker for Christmas.
So, nice.
So we got some good shows coming up, and I hope you all enjoy them. Also, we're setting new records, and I want to thank all the listeners for doing that, especially the listeners online. We're setting new records on our SoundCloud and our other digital platforms. We got quite a number of digital platforms now, more than I knew of, and they are they're turning the clock, so to speak, and I appreciate that. And one last thing, if you want to email us again, it's bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. So Andy Black from Outdoor Kitchens Northwest, what do you think is the biggest thing that is coming down the pike, or you sense is coming down the pike in the world of outdoor cooking and barbecue?
Well, I think with, they've already started to do it, but I think with all this technology out there, they're really going to integrate that. It's almost like, you know, how your refrigerator can be integrated to the internet, things like that. Yeah. I think they'll come out with something to where you can be at the office and turn your smoker on or do something to have it turn itself on and then go to cook your food so it's ready when you get home.
Who's going to take the food from the fridge to the... Wyatt going to do that?
No, Wyatt and Annie, they're smart. They know how to turn the TV off in my bedroom, but I don't think they're that smart.
Teeth marks in your chicken or something?
Exactly. Well, I mean, they're going to have to come up with some delivery system for that as well.
Sure.
But I just see how technology is going to be integrated into the cooking world outside. It's already in the cooking world inside and other appliance devices. So I can see that probably in the next 5 years that they'll start coming out.
Okay, so here's what they're going to do. You're going to have an outdoor cold source, refrigerator, freezer, and they're going to have an automatic belt feed into the grill.
Yeah.
From there. It'll close off the door for the cold and turn on the hot.
The technology's already there.
Yeah.
And what everyone's doing, I mean, my brother's in the beer industry and stuff like that. I mean, it's completely different, but they need to start appealing to the millennials. People that are into this technology. I mean, you and me are old school cook guys, you know, circa 1982 probably. We could cook something really good on a very simple grill. It's not what the grill is necessarily, it's how you do it.
Right.
You know,
right,
we know that. But people that aren't as good, sometimes if they have better appliances or better grills, it makes it easier on them to have a better produced outcome.
And still some people can't cook worth a damn.
No.
But that's just... You know what? One thing I've noticed, I'm not picking on anybody, but going through school all those years, like years ago, I should say, and then traveling and doing everything I've done, you really notice when you sit down to eat with somebody, you kind of get a sense of how they were brought up, fed as young people, you know, through whatever. And the reason I say that is because, you know, some people don't like a lot of seasoning. You know, I'm kind of a moderate guy on the seasoning like that.
And
but,
me too.
But I noticed that over the years when you would feed somebody that their mom wouldn't put a salt shaker on the table or something like that, and you gave them something with a little more flavor, how their eyes kind of perked up like that. So, you know, expand your world a little bit. I mean, don't go chew on some habaneros. That's just ridiculous, you know, or something like that. But expand your seasoning, you know. If you've got a little garden, use your fresh basil and your rosemary and thyme and whatever else is in a Paul Simon song. But, you know, you can do that. And I just recommend that to people.
Well, you know, my favorite things to do is I pull some rosemary out of my my garden and take it off the stems and stuff like that. Take some garlic cloves, like 4 or 5 of those. Get a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper. Mix it together and just chop it up really fine and then just lather it on a pork shoulder or on chicken and things like that. It's so simple. There's so many simple things out there that you can do to make food taste good, and you can mix it up too, so it's not the same flavor every time, but you know, have fun with it.
Somebody I'm glad you said that, because somebody was talking to me the other day about I'm supposed to start doing some TV, more TV than I normally do.
Uh-oh.
And they said, what, you know, I said, well, I'm going to keep it very simple. And they kind of looked at me, and I said, "You, most people, they love to watch the food shows, but rarely will they actually cook something like that because it's too complicated, too cumbersome." My friend Ron years ago, and we got to go here because I'm out of time, but He said, you know, anything with more than four steps in it, you lose people.
That makes
and
sense.
He's a professional chef. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Andy, thanks for coming in today.
I appreciate it, buddy. See you again.
And I know it is. And we'll be back next week, like I said, with some more stuff for KCBS and the Royal and more announcements. Take care, everybody. Have a good week.